This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Welcome into the Cyclone Alert Cyclone Scoop Podcast. Michael Swain here, the Iowa State beat writer for 24/7 Sports. We're coming to you a few hours after Iowa State's 24-21 win over number 8 Oklahoma State at Jack Trice Stadium. Currently situated in the away radio booth, looking over a empty press box here, but just wanted to get a quick podcast out to you guys, recapping what was a pretty exciting and eventful game. You know, Iowa State notches its first home win over Oklahoma State since 2011, their first win over Oklahoma State period in 2 years. And this now catapults Iowa State likely into the AP top 25, even though I've expressed my disdain for it. They will probably be ranked here on Sunday, and they now have some momentum going into what is a tough stretch. You've got road games against West Virginia, Texas Tech, Oklahoma, and a home game against Texas here over the next 4 weeks. But starting off from just some of the numbers, you know, Iowa State somehow really was able to outgain Oklahoma State, where in the first half it seemed like Iowa State's offense was not going to be able to get much going. In the end, Iowa State gained 374 yards to Oklahoma State's 332 yards. And it's also worth noting I am here with Cody Nagel from our Oklahoma State 24/7 Sports website. And I think let's start here, Cody. What maybe for you was the biggest surprise of the game, and then we can probably work our way around and go from there?
Yeah, so I think, you know, if you'd have, you know, told me pregame that Spencer Sanders, Oklahoma State's quarterback, would throw three touchdowns and would have zero turnovers, and the Oklahoma State defense would hold Iowa State to, what was it? I mean, less than 100 yards rushing, I'd have a hard time believing that Iowa State would win, just because that's like the two areas that, you know, if Oklahoma State doesn't turn the ball over and they can stop the run, you know, 9 times out of 10, I'm pretty sure they're going to win the game.
Yeah.
So that was pretty surprising, you know, to look at the stats after the game and see that.
Yeah, when you look at what Iowa State's bread and butter has been, it's been a lot of the relying on the run game and then kind of building some of the passing attack off of it. But I think the thing that you look at the game in general, I think it comes down to really a few decisions made by Mike Gundy. You know, in the first half, you've got the play where they decide to attempt a 50-yard field goal on a fourth and short, but at that point in the field, like, you understand it's somewhat early in the game, understand it. So they attempt the field goal. It's no good. Iowa State then drives and they score a touchdown to open their own scoring to make it a 7-7 game, I believe. And then to me, I think the turning point in the entire game was in the second half when Oklahoma State had a fourth and one, fourth and two at about like the 20-yard line, I want to say. And Mike Gundy, instead of electing to go for it, elects to kick a short field goal, and the kick missed, and then Iowa State goes down and gets a field goal to take a 3-point lead, and that ended up being the difference in the game, you know, in the end of it. So I thought that was an interesting decision by Mike Gundy, and I made a joke on Twitter that, you know, he's now got the lifetime contract and he should be aggressive, and that really struck me, because I think you're looking at that point in the game, Iowa State's defense in the second half I thought was playing, you know, pretty good football, and to take a conservative approach there really, really stood out to me. And I guess from an Oklahoma State perspective, how out of the norm was that? Like, are they an aggressive team on fourth down? Because I look at Iowa State, and in the first half, they went for it on fourth down, I think on their first drive of the game. They didn't get it. And then they go on fourth down again, just in plus midfield. Yeah, Iowa State doesn't go for it on fourth down. That's something Matt Campbell said postgame, was like, that was just something they decided to do. So from Oklahoma State's perspective, like, how out of the norm was that for them to really go for it there on that fourth down?
You know, I feel like Gundy's generally pretty conservative when it comes to stuff like that. And, you know, we asked him after the game, you know, looking back on it, would you make the same choice? Would you kick the field goal rather than going for it? You know, he said both times that he'd kick the field goal, whether it was the 20-yarder or the long 50-yarder with the crosswind. That, you know, maybe if they don't have that crosswind, it probably goes in, because it looked like it had plenty of distance, and maybe just missed to the right by a yard or so. Yeah, he said he would kick the field goals if he had, you know, the chance again. But yeah, he's normally pretty conservative with that. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't too surprising, but, you know, you look back on it now, you know, if they go for it and convert on one of those and get a touchdown rather than a missed field goal, that's obviously the difference in the game.
Yeah, it really is the difference in the game. And I pulled up some numbers here. It's a few seasons ago, but Stadium did a really good study where they looked at field goal distances. It's from the 2018 season, and kicks of 50 to 54 yards are a 40% hit rate. But I think the stark thing is you look at the field goal where the 32-yard kick that was missed, that's an 83% hit rate for those kickers. So Iowa State definitely benefited there, I think, just if you look at the pure numbers. And again, it's from a few years ago, but I think that those numbers probably bear out just because college football is college football.
Yeah, and just to add one thing, so Oklahoma State's starting kicker, going back to last year, I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast earlier this week, but you know, he was probably on his way to like all Big 12. Seems like he couldn't miss. Mm-hmm. Got hurt in Bedlam warmups, just a freak injury, blew out his knee. And he came back this season and really struggled the first few weeks. And they actually kind of sat him and, you know, kind of had him work through some technical type stuff. And then they went with Tanner Brown, who's now the starter now. And I don't think he had missed. I think the last few weeks he was like 5 for 5 or something.
Oh, wow.
So I think that also went into like Gundy's decision on, you know, he hasn't missed lately. He's probably got confidence. Like, I've got confidence in him. We'll send him out there. And yeah, for him to miss like the 50-yarder, you know, obviously it's a good distance, like you said, but, you know, for him to miss the 20, 30-yarder, whatever it was down here on the other end, that was a little bit surprising. And
for sure.
So yeah, just something to add there.
Yeah. I think too, like, you look at overall performances, and not necessarily an outlier performance, but I think Brock Purdy does deserve a lot of credit. You look at someone that, you know, I feel like I've written about Brock Purdy a good amount this season, and I wrote about it heading into the game on Friday where, you know, he talked about it after the Iowa game when he has the 3 interceptions. You know, you could – whatever you want to say about the 3 interceptions, I would argue that 2 out of the 3 weren't his fault. But regardless, you look at the stat line, he's going to get criticism for it. And he talked about kind of in the time since that he's really tried to refocus himself. And I think what you've seen now is Brock Purdy playing probably the best football of his Iowa State career. I mean, better than that stretch last season where – you know, he was completing 70%+ of his passes for 10 yards an attempt, 10 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Like, this is better than that. He's completing about over 70% of his passes this season. He's a little under on those yards per attempt numbers, but I think to some degree that's also a product of, you know, Iowa State not necessarily looking to push the ball down the field a ton. You know, they're very much a ball control team looking to build off of that. And I think Brock Purdy today was fantastic. I mean, completes 27 of his 33 throws, 307 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. That is the big thing for me, is the no interceptions. And I don't even think, I mean, Cody, correct me if I'm wrong here, but like, I don't remember any sort of pass that I thought, oh crap, he may have just gotten intercepted.
No, and that's the thing, is most of his passes or completions were, you know, short yardage. Like, there wasn't many like deep downfield mm-hmm. shots or anything like that. He slowly just kind of picked apart the Oklahoma State defense. And you know, I thought it was strange looking back at the stats that, you know, all their points came in the red zone. They didn't have any, like, huge plays that, you know, but other than the
almost.
Other than the one that got called back. I'll let you comment on that.
Yeah, I don't know what in the world that flag was. I try not to get into some of that stuff, but, man, that was an awful call. I don't know how that's taunting. Like, Xavier Hutchinson said postgame that, you know, he knew he was high-stepping, and then tried to stop, you know, before it got out of hand. And he did like a 2-step high step. It wasn't like Deion Sanders where he's doing it for
40 yards,
you know,
down the field.
Right. You know, he's not doing it for 10, 15 yards. He goes in the end zone. Like, he looked around and then kind of like did a quick little one. And that was just, if they don't score there, that is one of those moments where you look back and that's a big, big turning point in the game. Of course, Iowa State then really did make it a point to get Xavier Hutchinson the ball.
Yeah,
like, they were like, all right,
three
dude.
Times after.
Yeah, they're like, all right, so you're not going to score here. All right, well, then we're just going to make sure you get the touchdown in the end. And I think Xavier Hutchinson deserves a lot of credit for his performance, too. Man, that was awesome. I think that from start to finish, you look at that fourth down play that he had, where if he drops that, that's 7 points off the board, and that really takes away Iowa State scoring after that missed field goal from Oklahoma State. I think to me, like, the most impressive catch of the game came on that, if you're looking at the TV broadcast, the far sideline, where he somehow gets a foot in bounds. It looked like the ref ruled him out of bounds at first, and then they come back to say he's in bounds. I thought he was fantastic today, and regardless of what happened maybe on that flag, and Matt Campbell said post-game that the refs explained to him that it was because he did the quick little high step, and Matt Campbell himself said he had to watch his words with what he was saying about it. So I think in general, you know, you look up and down, and Iowa State got really good performances from its really, really good players. Like, I'll get to the who stood out, who didn't stuff on Sunday, but really struggling to maybe come up with some guys that didn't have good games because, you know, in general, just really solid performances from Iowa State on offense. And even on defense, you know, Spencer Sanders was awesome. I thought that he really carved up the Iowa State defense at times. His passes were really good. I thought he took advantage of some of the cornerbacks. And if you're looking at this from an Iowa State perspective, you're playing some more quarterbacks that are like Spencer Sanders here in the near future. You know, whoever it is for Texas has some dual threat capabilities, whether it's Thompson or Card. You look at what Caleb Williams brings to Oklahoma. He's more mobile than Spencer Rattler. You know, you've got some mobile quarterbacks coming up, but of course you got Max Duggan there at TCU to wrap up this season. So that's something to watch. How is Iowa State going to do against some of these more mobile quarterbacks? You know, they did all right against Jason Bean with Kansas, but again, that was Kansas, and that game got out of hand early. So I think overall, you're looking at Iowa State, really good performance overall. Spencer Sanders is probably like the one, you know, black mark, if you will. But it doesn't really matter. You know, you win the game at the end of the day, and I think Iowa State can feel really good about this result in general going forward. But anything else kind of that stood out to you here, Cody, before we wrap it up?
So Gundy talked about afterwards kind of things that stood out to him was he felt that Oklahoma State's pass rush in the second half, that they just weren't getting pressure on Purdy. I don't know if you noticed that at all and how their offensive line did throughout the game, but that was one thing that he pointed out, that they just weren't necessarily getting pressure on him, and he was able to kind of stand in there and find those, you know, short 10-yard passes or whatever it was just to kind of carve the defense. So, I mean, I don't know how you feel that the offensive line did for Iowa State, but that was something that he mentioned.
Interesting. I felt like in the second half, I thought to myself, I remember this at one point, was when Purdy, I think it was maybe on that Xavier Hutchinson play, where he's kind of rolling to his right. I kind of felt like, man, it seems like Purdy's been rolling out a lot in the second half. But maybe it's that Oklahoma State just really didn't get close to getting home. I don't, you know, two sacks. You know, there's the one sack in the first half where Breece Hall misses the block. They kind of had two rushers on one guy, so that makes sense. But, yeah, outside of that, you know, I think when you think about Brock Purdy in general, you know, some of his bad moments come when he is running for his life. I mean, you can look at the Big 12 title game even last year, right? Like, Brock Purdy was running for his life in that game. The offensive line did not have a good game, and in the end he throws, I believe, three interceptions. So you look at him today, you know, and probably I think that's probably accurate. Now that I think about it more and more, what Gundy said about the pressures. And that's a credit to Iowa State's offensive line. That group deserves some credit because they were not good early in the season. And I think they would tell you that. There's a reason that they made the switch at left tackle with Sean Foster getting replaced by Jared Hufford. I thought he had another really good game today again. You know, overall, that unit seems like it's progressing really nicely with, again, a lot more talent coming up. That's the thing with the Iowa State so far. This is a good benchmark win for them, but a lot more tests are to come in the coming weeks. Even at West Virginia next week, that's not an easy road trip. And then you really do get in kind of that daunting three-game stretch with Texas, Texas Tech, and Oklahoma. But, yeah, I think that'll do it for us here post-game. Thanks again, as always, for listening to the Cyclone Alert, Cyclone Scoop podcast. If you like what you heard, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. We will likely have another podcast for you here midweek. And if you aren't following me on Twitter already, follow me on Twitter at mswain247. And you can also follow our Cyclone Alert Twitter account if you want exclusive Twitter account based around Iowa State football content. Go to at cyclonealert247. Thanks again for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.